You are invited to attend our no-cost legacy planning workshop on Saturday, October 12, 2024, from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Legacy planning is strategically distributing your assets to celebrate your life. In this workshop, you will hear about what the Bible has to say about financial legacy, building an estate, obtaining long-term care insurance, putting your legal documents in order, tax-advantaged giving, what community foundations offer, and opportunities for insurance for final expenses with no physical exam. Knowledge is power. These steps can assure that your legacy is a memoir that truly celebrates your life. Registration is on the Bethany Baptist website at bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Or you can contact the church office at 412-242-3255.
Welcome to Incurred in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Technique Part 3 from our series, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 3.
Before your nose starts to get big. Are you kind? Oh, let's move on. Let's move on. He goes on to say here in 1 Corinthians 13 that love suffers long. Love is kind. And then he has this whole idea that love does not envy. Love does not envy. The word envy is the Greek word zelo. And it means to have a strong desire. This word envy in the Greek is a neutral word, if you will. It has no negativity or no positivity connected with it. It's a strong desire. That's what the word means, a strong desire. Now, what determines whether it's going to be negative or whether it's going to be positive? The context, okay? In the context of sexual immorality, strong desires are what? Negative. In the concept of having a heart for God, having a strong desire for God, it's a good thing. But the word itself is neutral. Paul connects it here because he knows what's going on in the Corinthians church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says this, "For you are carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men?" He says, look what he says here. Is there not envying among you? Envying. Why does Paul put in 1 Corinthians 13, love is not jealous, love is not envious? Why did he put that in there? Because he was addressing the issue in the church. That the folks were having a problem with jealousy. And so when we look at love, we see that love does not desire to have what others have. Temptations, to get it straight for you now, keeping up with the Joneses is going to make your life a mess. Bills, Alexas, tranquilizers, and getting deeper in debt. You better leave the Joneses alone. You know? Love. If I love, I'm not jealous of what you have. Man, when I see people getting blessed, I get excited for them. When I see somebody step up into a new crib, I get excited for them. When I see somebody get a new buggy, I get excited for them. I say, man, the blessings of God. Look how God has blessed you. But some folk, man, they look old. They like the older brother or the prodigal son. When he came back home, you know, the father killed the fatted calf, put a robe on him, ring. And the son, he was out there all upset. Why? Well, I've been here all this time. You never killed a goat for me. You didn't put a ring on my finger. You didn't put a robe. Jealousy. Man, do you love your father? Do you love your brother? Man, you should be rejoicing. should be happy. But I tell you what, I've never seen so much jealousy as when somebody is blessed with something. Man, people, most spiritual people. Oh, well, you know how he got that, don't you? He should have been doing such and such a thing. Now, he know he shouldn't have been. Man, be happy for the person. Be excited that they got a blessing. Now, how they got it, it's not your business. Not your business how they got it. Just be happy. They got to deal with God if they got it the wrong way. If they did something that they wasn't supposed to do, then they're going to deal with God one-on-one on that. All right? Not only if it's somebody in my family that I know they made a commitment, I'm going to have to make the payment. If they can't pay it, then I'm going to get into it. But if it's somebody in your family, I'm going to be happy for them. Oh, yeah. Love does not desire what others have. And you know what? Love does not wish ill will on others who have more than you. See, now that's where we get in problem, because sometimes we see somebody that's more popular, that's more successful, that's, God forbid, looks better than we do, more talented than we are, and we get jealous. And what's the next thing we do? We start to knock them down. You know they done had some cosmetic surgery. That stuff is not real. Let's be real now. Let's be real, Why are you saying that? Because your stuff is bagging and sagging. That's why you said it, So you that's your way of getting, somebody might, man, they might just work out. They just might be in shape, They might just be blessed by God. See, that's what folk do, They talk about folk. When somebody got something that we don't have, and what do? We not only talk about them, but we wish bad on them. We want something bad to happen to them because they've been blessed and we haven't been blessed. Oh, God, just let their car break down in the middle of the night. Paul dealt with that. Paul was gifted by God, and Paul was a great communicator to the point that people were convicted and got saved. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Because we see that there were some people who were jealous of Paul. And look what they did. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 in verse 15. He says here, some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. So what is Paul saying? Paul said, look, some are preaching. There are some people out here that are preaching Christ, and some are doing it, because they are jealous. And they want. And look in verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of the Lord without fear. Look, where's Paul at? Paul's in jail. He's bound. Paul is bound in jail. And he says that some are preaching Christ because they are jealous of me. And he says some are preaching Christ because they want to see folk get saved. Verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. Look at this. Supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Man, there were some people that were just preaching because they were jealous of Paul and they wanted to see him suffer more. They wanted to see him get more stripes. They wanted to see him get more time in prison. And so they were out there preaching and they figured, hey man, look, let's just keep preaching. And the more we preach, they already hate Paul and they're just going to make it a lot harder for him because they were jealous. Look, he says some preach because of envy. Of jealousy. And in the body of Christ, there should be no jealousy. In the body of Christ, there should be love. Because when we exercise love in the body of Christ, we don't want to see bad things happen to other people. But if we are honest today, we sitting here in the pew, you have to say that there are some times that you want to see something bad happen to somebody else. Let's be honest. And when that happens, that's not love. That's not love in your heart. Where's that coming from? Man, that is coming direct from the pit of hell. When you want to see bad happen to other people, especially other believers in Christ, when you want to see bad happen to them, that comes right from the pit of hell. And so love does not desire what others have. Love does not wish ill on what others have, on others who have more than you. And love does not take kudos away when they're due to others. Man, if somebody is due, their, go on and give them their props. You know, the reason that you don't want, because you're jealous. And you don't want to give them their props. Go ahead and give them their props. Man, God has blessed you. Man, praise God. God is working in your life. Give people their props. You know, once again, not from a standpoint where you're trying to put a snow job on them or you're trying to flatter them, but, you know, from a true standpoint. I remember there was a guy that I used to coach with at Liberty. His name was Dave Scott, and he played for the Atlanta Falcons for 7 years. And Dave was telling me one time that his offensive line coach, he said he just gave him a hard time. He said, man, this guy, you know, made him work, and he said that he took him off the first team, and it wasn't justified. And he said the guy was just dogging him. And I'll never forget what Dave said, because Dave's wife, Clarice, oh, man, she could cook. Oh, Clarice could cook. And one of Clarice's specialties was cakes, man. Oh, she could make some good cakes, just like Couple Saints here in Bethany. And Dave got his wife to make the line coach one of these cakes. And he took the cake and gave it to his offensive line coach. Now, Dave could have, you know, been upset and complaining and trying to, you know, just dog the guy out. But, you know, he said, you know, let me express, you know, because Dave was a Christian. He said, no, let me express the love of Christ to this guy. Let me show God's love and give a cake to him. And, you know, sometimes when we give like that, you can't be jealous. Oh, somebody help me here this morning. Somebody help me here this morning. If I'm trying to help somebody, you know, why am I going to try to help? Not like these guys who was helping Paul. But if I'm going to try to help you, then why am I going to be jealous of you? I can't have a sincere heart trying to help you and be jealous of you at the same time. If I'm helping you, that means, man, I want you to succeed. That I'm going to do everything in my power to help you to make it. Love does not take away kudos that are due to others. Let me move on this morning. Love does not vaunt itself. It does not vaunt itself. The word here comes from a word that means vainglory, or it means braggart. It means to brag. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, once again, remember what I told you, that Paul is writing because he's addressing problems in the Corinthian church. He's trying to get these jokers to love, and they're having a big problem doing it. Here we see that they were having this issue right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says in verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them who are the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, this I say, that every one of you saith, hey, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. So what are they puffing themselves up? He said, I say unto you, everyone, verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say, I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Now, what was the issue that was going on here? The issue was going on, man, can you imagine if you got baptized by Peter? Wow, I got baptized by Peter. Or if you got, God forbid, you got baptized by Jesus Christ. Man, I got baptized by Christ. Oh, bad boy, Jesus baptized me. That's something to brag about. Walk around and brag. And that's what they were doing. They were bragging. Paul says, look, when you got love, you don't have to go around bragging. You don't have to go around boasting. You don't have to go around lifting yourself up. John MacArthur says this, that bragging, I like this right here. Oh, I wish I had put this up on the screen. He says that bragging is the other side of jealousy. Jealousy is wanting what someone else has. Bragging is trying to make others jealous of what you have. I like that. You know, jealousy is means you want something that somebody else has. And when you get out there and start bragging, yeah, I'm a bad boy. You should have what I have. Nobody got what I got. You know, look at me. I'm bad. I'm super bad. And Paul says, look, man, when you got, you don't go around in the body, you don't go around in the church bragging about what you got, trying to make people feel bad and make them feel insignificant. You don't do that. Love does not brag. Somebody said that the husband who boasts that he never made a mistake has a wife who did. Somebody said the bouquet that you have in your hand oftentimes look like weeds to somebody else. You see, be humble. You don't have to brag about what you have. Realize that you don't need to lift yourself up. You don't need to make others desirous of what you have. Let me hit these points real quick, and then I'm going to move on and close. Love does not show off its achievements. Love does not say something to persuade others to have a higher opinion of you. You know, some folk want people to think high of them. Well, you know who I know. You know what they call that, right? Rubbing shoulders, right? Dropping names. You don't know who I know. Why do I do that? Because I want you to think higher of me. Yeah, we all got slick ways of doing that. I have to do it. I do it. Then I go confess, Lord, I shouldn't have did that. You drop names. I know so-and-so. I don't know how many people are going to drop my name. I don't know what's going to get you. My name and 25 cents will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. No, you need more than that. You need 75 cents at Sunoco. But, you know, love does, you're not trying to persuade others to have a higher, you know, make think better about you. Love does not take credit for God-given abilities. And let me say this before I move on, and that is love knows how to receive a compliment. So, you know, the problem is we got too many super spiritual people. Oh, no, don't compliment me. Don't compliment me. Oh, no. See, love knows how to take a compliment. If somebody says something nice about you, you know, first of all, it's your attitude. If in your heart you say, well, I know that everything I have comes from God and I've been blessed to God, then you got the right start right there. And then your response, man, praise the Lord. Yeah, I thank God that he has gifted me to be able to do this. See, no, I don't deserve God. Give God all the praise, all the glory goes to God. Come on, man, let's be honest. Yo, God saw something in you. God blessed you. God is using you. You know, say, man, I thank God that he's using me. You know, so know how to receive a compliment when it's given to you, okay? But don't, you know what? And I was getting ready to do such and such a thing, too. Well, see, now you done took it to another level. You done took it to bragging. All right? Well, come here, let me show you what else I can do. Well, see, now, we just talking about what you just now did. I don't know what else you, I don't care what else you can do. You know, we just talking about this. You know, learn how to take a compliment. And then let me move on to my last point here, and that is love is not puffed up. Love is not puffed up. This was a big problem in the church of Corinth. This was a big problem. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:6. 1 Corinthians 4:6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. There goes the problem. Look at verse 18. Now some of you are puffed up. Look at verse 19. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and know not the speech from who they are puffed up, but the power. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. He says, and you are puffed up. Look at chapter 8 and verse 1. He says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that all we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. But look what he comes on to say. But love edifies. He hadn't even started talking about love yet. He hadn't even got to chapter 13 yet. So in chapter 13, he says love is not puffed up. What does the word puffed up mean? Well, you know what it means? It means to puff up or blow up. And Paul uses it here to lift oneself up with pride and arrogance. Anybody ever heard of, it's called, let me get the right name. It's called a pufferfish. And the nickname for it is the blowfish. And what does a blowfish do? When the blowfish sees its enemy coming, it takes on a bunch of water and what? Puffs up two times the size that it really is, all right? So that it can try to intimidate the enemy, all right? So, you know, that's the way some believers are. You know, when we think that we're not getting the recognition that we should get, what do? Puff ourselves up. You big blowfish. Next time you do it, just look in the mirror and don't say like Elvis Presley say, I ain't nothing but a hound dog. Just look in the mirror and say, I ain't nothing but a blowfish. I'm blow myself up. You know, Paul said, love is not puffed up. You don't have to be the blowfish of Bethany walking around here, puffed up like you the big cheese, all right? You know, let me say this. This is unrelated, but it's related in a way. You know, that's one reason I was glad that when we moved over here, I said I didn't want any chairs in the pulpit. I mean, I just like being down front, man, where I can just, you know, when you sit up front, sometimes you have a tendency to make yourself a little puffier, didn't you? You know, down there, man, you know, I'm just like, you know, preachers come in. You know, preachers come to visit. You know, I don't even have this issue here anymore. Because when preachers come, you know, some preachers, shut up, Bill. Some preachers, the first place they want to do, they want to come right up here. I don't know how many times we just crossed the street. Somebody give me a card. Reverend so-and-so was here. Dr. so-and-so. Well, why did they give me the card? They didn't give me the card so that I would know they were there. They gave me the card because they wanted to come up here. You big blowfish. What did Fred Sanford say? You big dummy. God don't need any blowfish. He don't need folk that are going to be puffed up. You know, God, all he wants you to do is serve him. He wants you to serve him. And when you have love, you don't have to puff yourself up. You don't have to make yourself bigger than you are. Just serve God. And you know what? God will take care of everything you need. God will get you the acknowledgement, the recognition, the kudos, the accolades. God will get it to you. Just serve him. Don't blow yourself up. You know, I love humble people. Humble people. Just say, man, I just want to serve God. Now, don't be too humble now. Some folk are so humble. You know, well, I just don't want to be up front. I don't want to be up there. Come on, everybody can't be that humble now because we wouldn't have anybody come up front and serve. Don't be that humble. You know, let God minister to your spirit, all right? But humble people, don't blow yourself up. Don't be a blowfish. Love. You know, how do I know if I'm in love? Read 1 Corinthians 13. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Ladies, you want to know if somebody really loves you? Are you dating right now and you want to know if that person loves you? Read 1 Corinthians 13. See how they match up there. Well, I know some brothers in Bethany that match up to 1 Corinthians 13. They might try to keep it on the slide because they don't want others to know. But they're matching up. They're living up. Brothers, if you want somebody, if you're dating somebody, and you want to know if they love you, read 1 Corinthians 13. That's how you really know where love is.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 4. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 3, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 3. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 3. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored.